You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What is going on? This is the IT and the D Show, episode 350. We got a great guest this week, Mike Willie. He's one of the founders of Clear to Go. It is a cool new app that's helping companies stay safe when they're bringing people back from this COVID madness, which is very timely and should be a great conversation. And speaking of which, obviously, we all acknowledge what's going on in the chaos in the world. Hopefully, our show can give you a little break from that.
Yep.
But on behalf of all of us, we just want to say that we stand with all the peaceful protesters, and we hope that some change can come about all of this, and we can all be better for it. So you know what? Dave, you may fire when ready.
Okay.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress.
Detroit.
Beyond the Sun.
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, sweep the leg, listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm! Storm! Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the ladies' man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy Spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical, Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. How's everything doing? This is episode 350 of the one and only IT in the D Show. We all are all broadcasting live from our respective houses. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters, is doing the Twitters. You can find us online at itinthed.com. And do us a favor, give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Yeah, and hey, here's a slight change to what's become the norm over the past 9-10 weeks. We don't have any events on the calendar just yet, but we're about to. So now that we've got, you know, the stay-at-home order's been lifted, restaurants and bars are going to start opening at 50% capacity starting next Monday. So yeah, it looks like we're going to have the opportunity to start bringing some events back, and we'll see how we can do that. And with any luck, our guest will tell us how to do that not stupidly.
Bartenders will be wearing masks, and then you're not. So yeah, we'll figure that one out. But hey, this show is brought to you by our very new friends, Private Internet Access. Just to let you know, we're as concerned about privacy as you are. They are founded in 2010. They are an award-winning VPN provider with over 1 million customers all over the world. You can basically encrypt your data, do anything you do online, confidential and secure. They offer unlimited access to over 3,200 VPN servers in 46 countries. I logged in from Europe, East, West, Chicago. Flawlessly. It took me 5 seconds. They have dedicated apps for all platforms from Mac, Windows, Linux, iOS, and even Fire Stick. And you can get up to 10 devices protected at the same time. And they are now open source. They've been PC Mag's editor's choice for 8 consecutive years. It's a great product. One of the cool things you can do, my cousins in Canada always bitch about not getting US Netflix. Basically, you can... So literally you can log in from anywhere in the world. So if you want something from another side of the world, you can watch content from streaming services literally all over the world that have geo restrictions.
So if you would like to circumvent copyright controls, this is the platform for you.
Yes. And here's the key thing. They keep no logs. This has been proven in federal court twice. So the only people that will know what you're up to is you. Right now you can get, 12 months for only $2.85 a month. It's a 76% discount. Months 13 and 14 are free. Do us a favor. Go to www.privateinternetaccess.com/ITinTheD to get started protecting yourself online today. That's privateinternetaccess.com/ITinTheD. 76% discount. Appreciate it.
Wow. Very cool.
Indeed. Indeed. So, hey, we are, without further ado, we'd like to get... first time we've met, we got introduced to you through our mutual friend Pat, but Mike Willie's in the house from Clear to Go. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. How about you?
You know what? Never been better. Trying to keep our head clear with all this maniac stuff going on. But with that being said, we sincerely appreciate your time. So I guess let's talk getting a product launched with this stuff only being a month or so old. I mean, that had to have been a pretty Herculean feat. I guess talk to me about the idea for this, and then we'll dive right into the product.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're in like week 7 of this thing for us, at least. You know, I think we had Wednesday morning. I get a call from my partner and said, you know, what if we had something to do like this? And it immediately just snowballed into this huge thing where, yeah, screening questions are definitely needed, but there's this whole process that happens behind the scenes. HR teams have to make sure not just that people can come back to work, but what happens when they can't, and for all the various reasons why not. So, you know, it just 15 to 18 hour days for the past 7 weeks, it's getting pretty rough, but it's good times. Well,
how big a team of coders do you have? Are you guys doing all this internal?
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily it was amazing. We, you know, just really lucky for us. We had a team that just kind of, came off of another project, and we'd all worked together before, and just, it was like, we're getting the band back together.
And that's always a good feeling.
So I guess in short, what is it?
Technology or the app?
The app. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it starts off as like, there's, you know, an iOS and Android app, and then there's what we call like an SMS text app. And basically, you need with those ways, you get a reminder in the morning, if you're an employee of someplace, hey, it's time to screen, you know, and you fill out a few questions. The questions are customized per employer. So, you know, somebody in Georgia can have different questions than somebody in Michigan. Makes perfect sense, right?
Right.
One size doesn't fit all, especially for businesses. So you answer your questions, and as long as you have to answer everything you know, in the green, then basically you get your little badge, and it's green, so you can hold it up across the room and show it to people like in the lobby and say, yeah, I screened. I'm good to go. Clear to go. And then there's a barcode too, so that we can link that up through essentially a visitor management system. And so if you come in, you scan, we make that link electronically back to that business. And so then on the other side of that is case management, where a response team or HR can manage what happens when somebody fails a screening. And so whether it's asymptomatic, symptomatic, whether they've been diagnosed, and then following that process from just watching it to treatment, to recovery, to finally being cleared to return back to work.
Well, and I guess like that's a good question, because like, you know, we've got friends that have gone back for, you know, whether it's Ford or GM or, you know, some of the other big three. And like, I know like one of our buddies had an issue because one of the standard questions that they ask during their process is, you know, do you have a sore throat or runny nose or anything like that? And well, it's allergy season, and it's Michigan, and so the answer for like everyone is yes. Like that's how that works.
I gotta add to this. We got a big sign on the outside of our door. It says, you know, if you have any of these symptoms, you can't get entry. And one of the symptoms is diarrhea. And I'm walking with my boss, and I'm like, they're never gonna let you in the damn building.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, too, is like making sure that you're clear in the questions. So like, have you had a persistent new cough for the past 3 days? You
know, right.
Things like that. It's a little bit of nuance.
Well, and I guess that was where I was going with that question is like, do you guys provide any guidance to what those questions should be? Or do you come with a default set of questions, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we're trying not to prescribe, and because it's really easy for an HR department that's just overworked right now to just take whatever's off the shelf. And so we do make recommendations from, you've got the CDC, so federal, you've got state, you've got county, even have sometimes cities recommending it. And so trying to pick and choose what works best for them based off those templates.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Mike. Like, can they, it's up to them to pick or choose. Like, what compliance standards are they adhering to? Is this just, it's basically, you know, cause yeah, I've filled out a half a dozen of them at different places already, and they're all different, you know?
Yeah. 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 You know, it'd be nice if there's just one set though, that's it. And, you know, for why it was like, hey, we want to ask, what their temperature is. And, you know, the temperature gets you into the HIPAA-related issues, but we've had guidance that says that's not HIPAA. But also, temperature's a trailing indicator, too. So, I mean, it's one of those things that's tough. We don't have a good answer on, hey, this is the best set of questions. I don't think anybody does, really.
No, but I'm just wondering, like, okay, so they go through all your things. Everyone's got the sticker. You know, they can check that. I guess, what box can they check? Is this basically, like, for HR to go back to management to say, hey, everyone that's come through the facility is good to go, clear to go, sorry. you know what I mean? I guess what's the end game?
Yeah.
I was going to say, to me, I mean, it sounds like it's a compliance and protect yourself from liability thing, where, I mean, from and this is, you know, kind of like for, you know, from our perspective, you know, getting ready, you know, to open up Podcast Detroit and all that stuff. I would like to be able to have something, even if it's just a, you know, a line in an Excel spreadsheet or a, you know, or something that says, hey, the engineer that was in the room that day self-reported as, you know, clear to go and life's good. I mean, and I would assume that would be that's what any employer is looking for. And you did touch on something that I was kind of curious about, is that self-reporting process. How does that bump up against HIPAA and how do you handle that?
Yeah. A couple of things there. One is there's definitely a CYA aspect of this, is like, let's make sure that we don't have any liability here of just, we've done the things that we want to do. There's this term from, I forgot where I heard it, but it's like ensuring the best possible outcome.
Right.
There's maybe something bad that happens, but let's make sure the best possible thing that happens can happen, or can happen happens.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it, of just, you know, and then so the self-reporting aspect of it is, we're getting guidance from federal that basically these particular items done in this particular fashion does not violate HIPAA.
Okay.
However, we are still going the compliance route where we're making sure that we're doing the things that you should be doing to protect data. We're also trying to avoid the 1984 aspect of it, where we track everybody's location and all that information. I mean, we're very much privacy conscious. And so that's the other aspect of it. You know, don't track if you don't have to. And then if you do track it, make sure you track it well and keep it protected.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So going back to what Dave said, is this just a liability thing? I guess I'm just trying to, you know, when I'm talking to, you know, different companies and what I'm bringing this up, that, I mean, conceptually it sounds great. It sounds amazing. But I'm just, you know, again, who's the one that's there that's going to be the light bulb above the head going, yes, we need this?
It's typically HR, but a lot of executives. I mean, there's not, you know, across industries, whether it's legal. I mean, we have on here right now legal, hospitality, manufacturing, education, municipality, service industry. It goes on and on. There is not an industry that doesn't need it or doesn't want it when you talk to them about it. So there's definitely liability, but there's also just, you know, when you're dealing with five people as an employer, you can handle this. You can mentally keep track of who's screened and who hasn't. You can, if you want to, do an Excel spreadsheet. But at some point, if you have 500 employees or 5,000, this gets unmanageable with Excel or traditional tools. You can't use SurveyMonkey for this.
Well, that's the thing. We're in a, you know, like I'll just use us for an example, where it's in a 6,000 person building. Yeah. We're not all back yet. We're trickling them in over about a 6-week period. There's stickers on the floor. There's limits on the elevators. There's basically hand sanitizer stations everywhere. You know, they're basically, we're sitting checkerboard. We used to sit on top of each other, but now it's kind of like every other or every third. You know, but nobody really, there's the signs outside saying if you have any of these symptoms, go home. But nobody's really checking you when you're walking through the turnstiles.
Yeah. You know, it's a really good point to bring that up, because for me, the stickers on the floor were like, I remember the first time I went to Home Depot with my mask, and I'm like, there's, you know, stickers on the floor. Do we need this? I know how far 6 feet away is, but everybody's naturally trained to do things that are not good in a pandemic. We've all been doing this for many, many years, right? We go up and shake hands, we hug each other. And so you need these things that just kind of get you back in this mode that we need to be safe. And so when it comes to filling out three simple questions or answering three simple questions, it's like, why do I need this? Well, you need it because you're not used to it. You need to get in the habit. You need to be thinking about it conscientiously that this is, wait, was this cough here for a while? Actually, it has been. It's getting worse too. You've got to need something to trigger that. So yeah, there's the CYA aspect of it, the liability, but there's also the real honest, we can make sure that people are safer because they're not coming in. And this actually, this goes then into like what happens post pandemic. Well, there's this thing that we learned about called absenteeism. And I hadn't been familiar with it all in the beginning, but basically people, it's a manly thing to do. It's a hard work ethic thing to do. And I say manly just because that was the first thing that came to mind, but really it's all about work ethic and coming into the office, even though I'm sick and don't feel well. Well, that actually gets everybody else sick. And so whether it's flu season or pandemic season, which hopefully this is a one-time deal, you've got that problem. And this is a tool that can help to kind of manage that as well later
on. It's like a Bugs Bunny episode. Flu season.
Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season.
No, it's funny, like when you were talking earlier about, you know, Home Depot and the marks on the wall, like it just reminds me, like we went to go get ice cream with the kids this weekend, and there's like our local place, Twist and Dip in Auburn Hills. And I'm like, sweet, there's only four people in the line. And then I go to pull in the lot, like, no, there's 40.
Wrapped around the building. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no. Damn social distancing. But, you know, what's your take on, like, you know, with the bars getting opened up today or what?
Next Monday, yeah.
Monday, yeah. Like, again, the 6 feet rule, and the bars are usually you're sitting on top of each other. Like, how do you, I mean, are you foreseeing using this in those in hospitality facilities like restaurants? Or is this, you know, I guess what's the, you know, if you walk in and you got a cough, you don't want to drink, you're not going to admit shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there becomes some.
Well, you know, you give me the right shot and it'll make my cough go away. Let's be real.
Medicine. No, but how much for people being truthful? I mean, that's a huge part of this, is it not?
You know, that's a really good question too. I mean, if it's going to be me, I might kind of like wait a little while. And my home looks a little bit like Dave's bar back there. But I think this system works well in a place where there's, you know, responsibility to answering truthfully. And in some cases, employers at the beginning, they say, you must answer this truthfully, otherwise it's grounds for termination. It, you know, gets that extreme. You don't have that type of, you know, carrot for people going to a bar. So this probably doesn't work well for that situation. It could, but it's going to require a lot of people to say, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. There's places where this works well. Think about like Orange Theory. You're already used to using an app. You're already used to going in at a specific time. You're already used to following a process. Mm-hmm. That's something where this works and makes perfect sense. For a bar where anybody can show up and it maybe already has been drinking and pre-gaming and isn't thinking too well, well, that's another story.
So is this like free if you're a solo user, costs if you're a business? I guess what's the pricing model look like?
Yeah, so we have nonprofit pricing, but really enterprise is really what we're targeting. For small businesses, it's free. So the idea is, and we also do first responders free for municipalities as well. So
oh, very cool.
Yeah, we're trying to make it so it's obtainable for everyone, and then still, you know, the capitalism kicks in and development gets paid for by
players. Someone has to pay.
Someone's got to pay.
So, you know, we want to be helpful, but we're not altruistic. Let's be clear. Yeah.
We're not getting money, but we'll try and make it work.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you envision transitioning, you know, COVID goes away, let's say in July, and it's never to be seen again. Obviously, we'll get another pandemic in a couple of years, but can you transition this into something else that's applicable?
You know, me as a nerd and a developer, I was like, this thing, we'll build it and then, you know, we'll kind of set it aside. But realistically, as we've rolled it out and learned about absenteeism, and then you talk to HR departments, they go nuts about this. They want this. It's really crazy how excited they get about this whole process, because they see they've already been dealing with these types of issues. And so they see it at post pandemic.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I wouldn't think it's a really hard transition to make this applicable to flu season or, you know, to whatever else.
Yeah, it's not something where you, like during flu season, where you're going to have your entire employee base scanning, but the product changes a bit to more where it's like, you know, I'm raising my hand. I'm letting people know, you know what, I've got these symptoms. I'm just not going to come in today. And then all the process that flows through that.
Cool. So, I mean, I guess, where do we find you? How do we find out more information? That sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. So the site is called cleartogo.co, one of those magical domain names that was available.
Oh.
and yeah, so you can get more information there. There's a little product demo video. We're starting to show more and more features. You know, early days of product development, it's just get the features out the door.
Right.
You don't have time to talk about them. So we're light on marketing, but there's more information, and we're happy to give demos and talk to people about it. So.
Awesome.
So I'm going to introduce it to work tomorrow. If I need to get your info, I'll get it from Pat, or I think I probably have it in the emails. But no, this sounds great for keeping compliant during these unprecedented times.
I'm so tired of that phrase. Is there anything you wanted to hit on that we missed?
Oh man, I could talk for days about it, but that'd be boring. Yeah, it's funny. You get really passionate about something, suddenly just consumes you. You
know? That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, Mike Willie, cleartogo.co. Obviously, Apple and Google, right? If you want to download it.
And I guess just to clarify, is that clear the number two or clear T-O?
T-O.
Okay.
Cleartogo.co.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Well, Mike, appreciate you spending time with us. Best of luck if you need anything. Feel free to reach out in the future, and best of luck in your latest endeavor.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on. It was my pleasure.
Awesome. Great timely info. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Thank you. Yeah, that makes for an interesting concept, you're like going back to work, like just like, you know, because again, like with us being back at work, like everyone's kind of looking sheepishly at some people, like, you know.
Yeah.
Near me, like those eyeballs, it's very
well. And I guess Mike, we didn't mention this. If you want to hang out for the rest of the episode, you're more than welcome to do so. If you need to break free, you can do that as well. It's up to you.
I feel kind of awkward watching you guys work. I just started listening to the
like I said, hey, it's up to you. One way or the other, we're both good.
I'm going to take off, but thanks so much. It was really fun.
All right, awesome. Thanks for joining, man. Really appreciate it. Before we dive in any further, Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why they created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, and then sends an alert to your phone, and then helps you if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
So, I guess diving in real quick, this has been a...
Now I'm going to go fight the power.
No, I want to start out. We'll get to that stuff in a minute. You know, we always talk about what we watched over the weekend. I think there's a few things I wanted to hit on that were especially on the sports front. It's getting weirder.
Okay.
My German soccer now has cardboard cutouts in the stands.
So they decided not to go the sex doll route. Is what you're saying?
No, they got the pipe. The still piped in with a chance.
Right.
I watched. I don't know if you saw the movie the Hidden Fortress.
No.
So there's what I did is I saw a thing with Lucas and he's talking about all his influences.
Okay.
He's talking about, you know, Flash Gordon, obviously the 30s reel, and he's talking about this guy Akira Yonasawa.
Was it Yonasawa?
I don't know.
I thought it was Kurosawa.
I'm mispronouncing it regardless.
Okay.
There was a movie from the 50s called The Hidden Fortress. And he said he basically ripped Star Wars off of this. And it was funny. It was amazing when you watched it because it followed like these two goofballs in the, like, kind of walking in the desert. One was short, was tall.
Were they combing the desert?
Yeah, not yet. No, but it was all they bickered like the entire time. Basically, it was during war time, and these guys were in like a labor camp and they broke out. And along their journey,
so it was like it was supposed to be R2 and 3PO.
Yes, as soon as you watch it, you okay. see the camera angles, you're like, shit. And then as they're walking, they find a general or a samurai behind enemy lines, who's totally Obi-Wan.
Okay.
And basically, then they find a posting for you. Got to find the princess, and you get 10 gold pieces. Well, apparently 10 gold pieces, you're like set for life. So these guys were peasants, you know. So it basically, it follows, it goes like Star Wars where it follows the entire story through the eyes of the two peasants.
Interesting.
Kind of like Star Wars with the droids, right? Instead of like the heroes. But then like there's like two scenes that are like, oh my God, this is totally Star Wars. They have a duel with the spears and it's totally like, you watch it and it's like they almost choreographed Obi-Wan versus Vader.
Like move for move? Okay.
Yeah. And then the bad guy comes back later with like all scarred up and like wearing all black.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah. It's like,
you know what? I think I did watch this once upon a time because that has been one of the stories that's been floating around forever. Now that you're given some of these details, it's starting to come back.
Yeah. And then there's one scene. It's like the total speeder bike scene.
I'm
watching it. I'm like, oh my God. I'll be honest with you. Don't get mad at me. It's a really hard watch. It's all subtitled.
Oh yeah, no, it's not something that your typical American audience is going to be like all in favor of. But it's for nostalgia purposes and for seeing like the influences and all that stuff. It's totally worth a watch.
If you want to do the too lazy didn't watch, they have YouTube things where it's side by sides, you know, and it's not perfect. But like it's definitely worth a watch. But it was on HBO Max. That's how I watched it.
Gotcha, my post about that. Like I don't like it's the HBO Max is the most confusing, ridiculous thing that anyone has ever done. So like if you get here's what I figured out. So if you get HBO through cable, then you automatically have HBO Go, which will and then if you have HBO through cable. You will automatically have access to HBO Max. If you have HBO Now, which is the app version of it, then that's somehow going to automatically transform to HBO Max. But if you get HBO through like a Roku device or an Apple device, well, then they haven't figured that out yet, and you don't know what you're doing.
Pretty much.
Like I just like why could this not be easier? Like what in the ever living hell? But no. So the one thing that I don't know. Did you watch Filthy Rich?
Yes,
bruh.
I don't like if you don't know what Dave's talking about, it's the Jeffrey Epstein Filthy Rich. It's a mini docu series.
It's four episodes. They're all about it. They're each about an hour long.
And it's I mean, you not only say I felt dirty watching it, but dude, that's some creepy ass shit.
Oh no, I absolutely felt dirty watching it, and I honestly I felt a lot of anger watching it on several different levels. I mean, one, you know, finding it, because I mean, we've all heard some of it as it was going, you know, when he was arrested and all that stuff, and you heard a little bit about, you know, why Jim Acosta got pushed out of office and all that, or resigned, you know, and that kind of stuff.
When's the first time we heard of the Lolita Express? Wasn't that an inside joke from like the 90s?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I mean, who knew what it was about? And so that's the thing. The FBI got their first report on this JAG in 1996 from two sisters who had been his victims. And that got swept under the rug. And then you had, you know, the 2006 thing, you know, where, you know, basically Acosta behind closed doors and without any, you know, they basically cut the West Palm Beach Police Department completely out of it. The FBI took things over, and Acosta signed this behind closed doors sweetheart deal that basically guaranteed immunity to Epstein and all of his named and unnamed co-conspirators. So like even there was basically so saying like basically at any point in time he could say, oh no, that was one of my unnamed co-conspirators, you can't prosecute them either. And just, you know, and all this, you know, just and all the stuff with
the guy, this lawyer, which was God, I can't think of his name, Hershowitz.
Oh, Alan Dershowitz, yeah.
Hershowitz, thank you.
Well, who's, you know, one of the guys that defended OJ, one of the guys, you know, I mean, he's a very high profile constitutional law lawyer.
Well, then, like, the guy that founded the Limited, that lives in Central Ohio.
Yeah, that Epstein apparently stole $46 million from, and yet he never bothered prosecuting or reporting it even, which is kind of weird. Yeah, like, what? Yeah, it's a $50,000 unjust cash check. Keep it. But then, you know, you look at, you know, just all of the, you know, and, you know, especially when it comes to his townhouse, which, and townhouse does not do that. I mean, that was like a 7-point-something million-dollar mansion.
Not a 70.
Oh yeah, sorry, 70. Yeah.
I had to look that up because I'm like, what?
Yeah, and literally every single square inch of that house was wired for video, you know, bedrooms, bathrooms, common areas, everything. And so that's one of those times where you sit back and go, Jesus, tap dancing Christ, how many people does this guy have video of? And that's why he was able to skate for so long.
It was toilets and everything. It was,
yeah. Well, and honestly, so here, I mean, the one, I guess the one positive that I will say about the doc, I mean, because it can be a hard watch. The one positive is that it really does give the victims, or at least, you know, these key ones that were part of the documentary, it gives them their voice and gives them their chance to tell their story, which, you know, until a federal judge came along and overturned Acosta's plea deal, they weren't allowed to, because, you know, they never got their day in court. They never got their, you know, any of this stuff. And so, you know, just knowing that they were able to finally have their voice and finally get some stuff out there. I mean, that's, you know, good for them. And I hope it's cathartic, and, you know, I hope on some level it helps bring them some closure, you know, because it has. I mean, it has jumped all this stuff yet again up into the forefront. And I think if it weren't for everything else going on in the country right now, you'd be seeing a lot more news, much more heavily focused on this.
I just hope it brings light to anyone else that's continuing, if they are, his bullshit.
I do not even care if it's continuing. I want to know if they were a part of it in the past. I want to know. I do. I want to know who was on that damn island. I want to know who was in that damn townhouse. I want to and string them all up. I don't care what party you're from. I don't care what country you're from. If you were a part of that in any way, shape, or form, hope they hang you by your toes.
Hope you get the old suicide two bullets to the back of the head.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah, conveniently hang yourself when there's not enough room for you to hang yourself. Yeah.
So answer me a question. Kind of jumping all around here, but like, the World Health Organization, right? That was the standard according to YouTube,
right?
Everyone else. But like now, who comes out? Who?
Who?
Sorry, I'm not going to get into an Evan Costello.
Third base, all right.
But they're like, yeah, no masks after like everyone.
Well, like, to be clear, healthy people do not need to wear masks, is what they're saying. Not right. That nobody needs to wear masks. Because again, and that's the thing, and that's what people, and I think a lot, and so like that wasn't really earth shattering news to me, because their whole point is like these cloth masks that people are wearing are not there to, they can't. It's not, like the N95 masks have a filtration system. The cloth masks are literally there to keep projectiles as you cough from coming out of your body and getting anywhere. So if you're healthy, you don't have anything to be projecting out onto people. It's the sick people that need to have those masks on in order to protect other people from getting the virus from them.
But have you seen, have you seen like where it's gone though? Like there's videos and videos and videos on YouTube of like people getting shamed at grocery stores and screamed at for not wearing a mask.
Yep.
Like it's taken a complete life of its own, where like the court of public opinion now has superseded any medical advice anyone has got.
Well, I mean, that's usually how that works anyway. The court of public opinion trumps pretty much everything, no pun intended.
I was going to say, with the way testing is limited still so far with, not being able to get access to testing supplies, you don't know if you're healthy or not. So it's
well that you just assume. But then, you know, it gets back to our guest. You know, you've got all these questions out there. Do I have a cough? No. Do I have a sore throat? No. Do I have a fever? No. All right, well then I'm healthy. You know, and if that's good enough to go to work, why isn't that good enough to go to Meijer? Why isn't that good enough to go to wherever else? I mean, like I can totally see both sides of this.
And especially when they say if you have diarrhea on the outside of the building. Oh my God.
I feel like that should just be a general rule, Bob. I feel like if you have diarrhea, you should be nice to all of your fellow coworkers and just not destroy the toilets all day. Like that should just be a rule.
God damn it, I can't go anywhere. Forever.
Sorry, boss. Still gotta work from home. Had White Castle and draft beer last night.
White Castle. But you know where we can't go next week? Hopcat and Royal Oak.
Nope. Hopcat, Royal Oak, fall down, go boom. And this sounds like another Blackfin situation,
yep.
Where they tried to jump the rent up on them dramatically, and they couldn't come to an accommodation. And so they said, see ya.
For the work that they did on that building, that place was gorgeous, hands down.
$2.5 million worth of construction, I read.
It is. I mean, and that's a damn shame. I mean, because, I mean, they definitely classed that place up after it was Woody's. I mean, dude, that rooftop lounge alone was amazing what they did up there. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a shame. I mean, it really, really is. But then the other place you're going to be able to go starting in July, although I don't know if you're going to want to bother, Disney has set their opening date of 7-Eleven. They're opening on July 11th. But all employees must wear masks. All guests must wear masks. Inside or outside, the mask remains to be seen. They are not going to be doing any fireworks, parades, or any other event that quote unquote draws a crowd. I'm not sure. They didn't really have any details about how lines and that kind of stuff were going to work. Cause I mean, do you think the line at your little ice cream shop was crazy? Can you imagine like the Space Mountain line, you know, 6 feet apart from each other? It's going to wrap around the park.
When's the last time you've been to Disney?
10 years.
So just that whole getting to the ferry boat,
yeah,
thing is a like you're standing on top of people.
And yep.
The ferry act like if you limit, like it's going to take 10 hours to get on the goddamn island.
Yeah, that's yes. I mean, I you know, honestly, it's a hard pass for me. Like I'll wait. Because we've been talking about taking the kids. I'll wait until all this nonsense settles down and things approach something, you know, back to normal. But yeah, no, that's I truly don't even know why they're bothering. But hey, I mean, if you want to, today's what, the first? So Thursday, you can fly out to Vegas if you want to.
I So did you see with the D Casino?
The D, yeah.
He offers, I think I wrote the notes down. He offered, 1,000 free tickets
Yep.
To come out to Vegas. He sold his first. This was from a friend of the guy when we went last year, friend of Albert, the friend of Derek's. He goes, Steven sold out his first round of 1,000 in an hour, did it again, and sold out the next 1,000 in 2 hours. So basically, he was given free flights to Vegas. I don't even think you needed to stay at the at his place.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, and dude, there's a reason I think that Vegas features prominently in several movies and stories, like The Stand, as the central of all of the plague stories. I'm good. I'm good on Vegas. I'll go to Disney before I go to Vegas. Put it that way.
I mean, it's 110 degrees in that damn, I don't know what. Yeah. And it says, all guests must have their temperatures taken on arrival. It doesn't say orally or anally. We're hoping. and then properties must have medical crews on site at all times. Designated areas for COVID testing and wait for the results. Masks available on request. This is one of those things, gambling, cut in half so every other slot machine.
Yep.
They're going to see, roped off chairs and stools in front of every other gaming machine.
Well, and I think I shared the pictures in one of the messenger chats or via text when we were talking about this before, where you look at some of the setups they're looking at for the gaming tables, poker and roulette and that kind of stuff, where they've basically, got these plexiglass shields around the gaming area with a little, gap underneath it that you can throw your chips out and that kind of stuff. Big, partitions between, where people are supposed to stand. I mean, it's again,
get your cards from the church basket like they do at Tim Hortons.
Right. Oh, dude, everybody's doing that now. Every takeout place is doing that now for the most part. I'll pass. I'll wait. Thanks.
I don't need to go that bad. I mean,
nope.
It'd be nice to get out and just be around people. But if I gotta everything's behind a plexiglass maze of shit.
Yeah, so if I gotta wear the full body condom from everything I always wanted to know about sex but was afraid to ask, I'm good.
Did you see that the story I sent with somebody designing? Basically,
Microtel?
No, it's a bubble suit. For
Microshell, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. And then it looks like you're part of Daft Punk.
Mixed with Tron, yeah.
Right. and basically just so, hey, how can we bring events back, bring socialization back? Great. Have everybody put on effing space suits.
Yep.
And then they can talk to people.
How much is that gonna increase the ticket price to pay for these suits?
I think you gotta buy one. They don't give them to you.
Oh yeah, no. I think Bob's right. I think you're supposed to have your own personal one that you wear to the concerts that you want to go to.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So this is the stupid quote. This clown. We need to make sure that people want to wear it and they feel good about wearing it. So it's a little bit more of a fashion piece rather than something that looks like a medical device. So yeah, that's what it looks like. Basically, a Tron suit.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear that shit. You're going to be at an outdoor festival in 95 degrees and I got to wear a goddamn motorcycle leather suit. Kiss my ass. Listen to the TV at home.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be home if you need me. But no, speaking of temperature, I did this story, just kind of cracks me up, where so apparently the Ford car Interceptor that they make for cops is going to have a built-in system that is going to raise the internal temperature of the vehicle to 133 degrees in an effort to combat coronavirus. I'm saying it right now loud and clear. Someone's going to get accidentally cooked. It's going to happen.
No, that was back in high school when you'd fart in the car and you'd close the windows and turn on the heat. This is what it was made for, I think. Nothing to do with the damn virus. It's the inventor who wants to cook
of the hot box. Yeah, nice.
He goes with his friends in the car. It's the only reason he wants to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that that just seems like it's just that one is just rife for something going wrong with it. I'm not amused.
It's stupid. Like, he brought it up to someone, and they're like, yes, go ahead. This sounds amazing. Like,
if you want to cook yourself medium rare,
right,
go for it.
So one of our favorite shows, Cobra Kai, is coming up on their season 3 release. And ahead of their season 3 release, they are apparently getting shopped by YouTube, who is getting out of the original content creation business. They are getting shopped around.
Wow, that didn't last long. What do they have? This show?
Yeah, basically. And so,
the reason I ordered that shit.
Yep. And so they're getting shopped. It looks like either Netflix or Hulu is going to be who picks them up. And I guess part of the deal is if you're going to pick it up, you have to contract for at least one more season. So, I mean, that's the good news on that front. They haven't really announced yet which one it's landed at, if it has yet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to season 3 to see Ali come back, and then season 4, we'll see what happens.
Does that mean I can cancel YouTube Premium now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it was YouTube Red, then it was Premium. Yeah. I don't know, because I think season 3 might still be getting released that way. Because it was like, okay, you'll have exclusive access to the first 2 seasons. It was a really weird, convoluted thing that they were trying to put out there. I think this season might still come out via YouTube Premium, as well as whatever platform it's on. I guess we'll see whenever some deal actually gets reached and it gets announced. I mean, it's not like they're not going to release it. They know, like you said, they know this is one of the only reasons why people like you and I have it.
True. I don't need it. By the way, I know we talked about this, the Secretary of State.
I was gonna say, yeah. So did your license expire this year too?
Mine expired, Beau's expired, and Gretchen's turning 16.
Oh, so, that's right.
Well, we just got our tabs today. Beau mailed them in like April 5th because our birthdays are May 1st. We just got our tabs today.
Oh, see, I did all that stuff online and got them within like a week, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, she mailed them in, or I don't know. She did it. My wife did it. But then we had to do a meeting. Today I had to look. The soonest I could get a meeting in person at Pontiac or at Rochester Hills was July 17th.
Yep. So
almost a month and 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Get just an appointment because my physical therapy is next door to the one on Crooks.
Right.
And, you know, it was appointments only, big signs. So they're open now. So that means, like, literally they've been taking appointments starting now, and they're booked up that far in advance.
Well, yeah, because they laid off 80% of their staff a couple weeks ago. And so I don't know that they're fully ramped back up. So, I mean, there may only be one or two people in there trying to handle everything that's going on. And, you know, you don't know what kind of transactions people are coming in with and how convoluted and crazy things are going to get. So, I mean, they extended, it was originally June 30th. They have extended, like if your license has expired, I think it's between May 1st and
February, I believe,
till whenever it ends. They've extended everything out to July 31st.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see the thing? Google's doing a couple of cool things. You know, sometimes we trash on them, but I'm going to give them credit when they do good.
Yeah, they do some good stuff. All right, you keep talking. I'm listening. I'm grabbing a drink.
Yeah. Randy, I don't know if you saw this. They're giving on Google My Business Profiles. You know how you have a business profile with their map and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You can put a button up there to promote gift card purchases or to promote donating to their staff. So it's kind of like kind of helping the, you know, they partnered, I guess, with PayPal and GoFundMe for donations, you know. They can link directly to their gift card page to buy those from Square, Toast, or whatever.
Right.
They're basically and they're also adding a new search option to find support or for customers to find support options for local business.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, they kind of gave this out of nowhere, you know, and I guess it's increased more than 700% since February. So, you know.
Yeah, and then pretty soon they're going to also allow businesses to mark things like they have online classes or online appointments so that they don't have to have customers in person.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. Like, you're opening up retail, but you're saying by appointment only. So you mean to tell me I got to call GameStop and I got to book a 1 o'clock appointment to go buy Witcher 3 or whatever the hell I want to buy? And then
yes.
Well, I mean, if you know what you're going to buy, you just do curbside pick up.
Yeah, you just
need to browse. You know, I need a wedding gift or something like that. Then you get to go browse, make an appointment to go browse the store for 15-20 minutes to pick out the perfect gift or whatever.
You never know what you're going to buy.
It's very Pretty Woman, Bob. You get to shop by appointment. You'll have your own personal shopper.
The other cool thing Google is doing is actually offering their employees $1,000 to build a work at home office.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, and that's, you know, for those that built a home office, I mean, I'm not saying it's a lot of money, but you can buy a whole lot of shit at IKEA for $1,000.
Pretty sure you can buy an IKEA for $1,000.
Well, like I look at like my office that I built upstairs, which is basically like a L-shaped bench. And like the three cabinets above and then one below. I don't even think that was $500 for all of that.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah, I've got a $60 IKEA desk and a $40 on desk shelf. With $1,000, I could buy some nice stuff like some monitor stands and a keyboard tray and, you know, make it actually a workstation instead of just a flat surface.
Yeah. I remember when I first started at HP, I guess they got so many people were out of work for like back problems and shit. That they were like, go buy yourself the best office chair you can get at whatever store that's closest to you and expense it. And because here's why we've had so many people with like bad backs and they're going to, you know, issues.
Right.
Carpal.
Smart.
Yeah. So like I still have that chair. It weighs a ton, but it's great. You know, phenomenal chair.
So I got a good touch and a bad touch for you. Good touch for all you people who have 97 bags of cans and bottles sitting in your garage. Apparently, the floodgates are open on June 15th. The state of Michigan said that's when they are opening up to start accepting bottle returns again. Whether or not that means that the individual stores are going to be adhering to that, I don't know. But that's the date that was put out there.
You know what I think? That would be a great thing, like to donate. Like someone should have started this thing and picked five charities. Because if there's $50 million, think about the change. I mean, obviously, people want their $100 or whatever. But think about the change that could do for the state.
Oh yeah, for nonprofits that actually need this stuff, and absolutely.
Food banks, because all the people that have been out of work and missing rent. I mean, I know it'll never happen. You know,
it won't.
There's 10 million people in the states are doing Bob math. Everybody gets $5. Whee!
We hate Bob math. But then there's the bad touch. Did anybody have thieving aggressive COVID monkeys on their apocalypse bingo card?
I can't believe this. That
steals babies or blood?
Blood. No. So apparently these monkeys escaped from a lab in India after wailing on a lab tech and then were later found sitting up in a tree eating the coronavirus blood samples. Yeah.
Did we talk about the monkey that drove in on the little Evel Knievel motorcycle and stole the baby?
No.
No.
Holy shit. Look it up on YouTube. Just put monkey steals baby.
Okay. When was this?
So help me God, this some bitch drives down the alley on one of those. Remember those Evel Knievel ones?
Yeah, yeah.
He's on a freaking Evel Knievel motorcycle, gets off, grabs this 18-month-old baby, I'm assuming, and by the leg and starts running. And this guy like basically hollers at the thing and you know he lets go of the baby. But he pulled the baby a good 10 yards. Like down the alley,
dude.
Like,
Planet of the Apes is happening right now. Like that's in case that's the June bingo square. Planet of the Apes comes to fruition.
Well, that was
holy cow! Oh, yeah, the monkey just comes riding in on this motorcycle, jumps off, grabs the baby, and starts dragging it down the alley.
Yeah,
that's super fast too. That would be scary.
Did you see the monkey gangs? Because they can't get any food because everybody's in lockdown in Singapore.
Yeah,
we talked about this already. Yeah,
yeah.
There's like literally 1,000 monkeys. And that's what they were all talking about is like the rats are coming out now because they don't have all the garbage and shit.
Oh, yeah. Goats are breaking down fences and just getting into people's yards and eating, you know, eating whatever the hell they want. The earth is done with us. The other story that broke today. Yeah, there's another Ebola outbreak going on in Africa. In case you thought the earth was done with us.
24 hours of earthquakes in Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's all.
Yeah.
Yes, in Jellystone, Bob. It's picnic-type biscuits. No, Yellowstone, where there happens to be a giant super volcano that if it erupts, yeah, takes out most of mankind. There's that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that when I was a kid. I remember that one.
Yeah, exactly. So what else we got? Oh, I thought it was, this was kind of cool. The news came out that, you know, Admiral Thrawn is one of the popular characters from both books and the cartoons, and is apparently going to get a live-action show, which is awesome.
Yeah, I just finished Star Wars Rebels this weekend. I was surprised how much it was a direct continuation of the Clone Wars. I expected a nod here or there, but I wasn't expecting, you know, the return of Rex and Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah.
And Thrawn showed up season three.
Yep.
And he seemed interesting, but they didn't really go into a whole lot about him. So it'd be cool to see him.
Yeah, no, I think they basically assumed that anybody who was watching had read the EU books that came out. You know, Thrawn was one of the central, he was the central character in the books that basically started the Star Wars comeback, you know, Heir to the Empire, and that trilogy by Tim Zahn, basically. Without that, there is no Star Wars today, because Star Wars was dead before those books came out.
Yeah, and he is one of the best characters on Star Wars Heroes on the mobile phone. You can get a hold of him and get him ramped up. He's unstoppable.
I still have not gone back to that game.
I just got to level 81. So, yeah.
And then Bob, I know you're excited about the new home item that is a game changer to end all game changers.
Game changer. So here's the thing. This is what I love about ingenuity and capitalism. I don't know if it's capitalism or whatever this is, but basically there's been an argument going on since the dawn of time if you're an over or under toilet paper person, right?
Yep. So do you roll under or roll over? Yep.
Yeah, yeah. What does Kohler do? They throw up the middle finger to everybody. They're saying, we're squashing this once and for all. We're putting that sumbitch vertical.
Well, then now the debate is, you know, behind or in front.
Left or right?
Yeah.
No, because you can't. Like, people are, like, pissy about it. Like, if you're an under person, like,
wrong.
That's like, oh, yeah, that's like political. Up dead to me. I'll never speak to you again. It's like a girl telling me she likes country music. Like, no, get out of my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Bare feet on my dashboard, dead to me. But like this thing's vertical, and I'm like, I think I'm gonna have to buy that. You think about it, saves a little space. I don't, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But then yeah, if you're left to right or right to left, it doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know.
It'd be easier to tear off the paper too because it's vertical, so you've got kind of like gravity going in your favor too.
Yeah, and then you don't be lazy, and you don't have to like do all that.
Yeah, you don't have to two-hand it, one to hold the roll and one to tear.
I mean, I guess my whole thing is hopefully it'll keep, dogs and cats from just going in and unrolling entire rolls no matter which way it's sitting. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, it's Kohler's way of saying shut up. I freaking love it. Yeah. Did you see, by the way, I know there's a, I'm trying to stay away from all the madness and all the crap. Did you see that they flew a Predator drone over Minneapolis?
Okay. Well, yeah, and if you read the story from the base commander that it was flown from, they do this all the time. They do it in support of when there are, you know, large fires going. They do it in support when there are large festivals going on, all that kind of stuff. So it's really nothing new. It's just, you know, one of those things that came to light as a result of this.
Well, it was unarmed. Like, let's
yes, exactly. It wasn't actually armed, or so they say. But it was essentially one of the Predator drones.
But I guess the ACLU is just literally pooping their pants over this one, amongst other things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Worry more about the ones that are being flown over Baltimore by the Texas billionaire dude that's doing that we talked about last week.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, it seems like it's a year between shows now with everything that's going on. Like, I can't even remotely keep up. But, you know, speaking of the drones and the riots, hey, shout out to Paul Thomas, Dr. Paul Thomas, our buddy from Plum Health. He's been here on the show before. Done a lot of good stuff. His office is one of those ones that got hit, although not bad, just the windows got graffitied, so he didn't really have to deal with any damage or anything. But he had a very positive outlook about it, as he always tends to do about everything. He's just like, hey, look, you know, you know, I'm here trying to lower everybody's health costs. Can you not mess with me? But, you know, we're going to clean the windows and we'll be open tomorrow. It is what it is.
Like Vault of Midnight got hit in GR.
Yeah. And they got hit pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's going to take days to back up.
You know what? And honestly, here's the one thing that I think is super cool that I think the media is not paying attention to. So yeah, I mean, Grand Rapids, a lot of shit went down, and I mean the pictures the images they were showing of basically just an entire street row of cars on fire. You know, and a lot of the stuff going on, but there was also a volunteer crew, just people that showed up starting at like 6 a.m. to clean up the city. You know, the local coffee shop there was handing out free coffee to everybody that showed up. And they really busted their asses and got, you know, all the glass cleaned up and all that stuff. I mean, it was really great to see a community come together. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, is it's one of those stories that you know, you kind of cock your head a little bit at and you wonder how much of it is true and how much of it is hype, you know, about all the outside agitators coming in and that sort of stuff. But, you know, I find it kind of hard to believe that people would want to completely destroy, you know, their own neighborhoods and their own stuff. I mean, that just, it's not really logical. And you've got these stories about these mysterious pallets of bricks that are just showing up on street corners. They're not near any construction zones. They're not near anything. They're calling them, you know, they're using the hashtag bait bricks. You know, and you know, if you see these, you know, take a picture and report it to the police, have them come get them. You know, it's, we're in super interesting times right now. And I'm tired of saying unprecedented times. But we really, really are. I mean, there's so much going on, and, you know, we didn't even touch on, you know, Trump's war with Twitter that went down. You know, he got,
if you want a blueprint though of how to do it right, the guy from Genesee County, I mean, he's going to run for president someday, hopefully. I don't know if you watched that or not. And if that didn't bring you down, like just humble you and make you like, if you didn't see the video of him kind of saying, "Hey, I'll walk with you. I'll take off all my shit, my baton. I left all of it. Let's go. What do you want to talk about?" I just walk with people.
And well, and I mean, James, you know, and Chief Craig, I mean, you know, in Detroit, you know, would, you know, tried to have a very calm, you know, mellow dialogue with people too. And it is, I mean, it's a struggle. Like I get it. Like there were a lot of people that got angry about how the DPD acted last night in particular, where you know, so the, you know, they basically, Detroit issued a curfew starting at 8 p.m. And there was a large gathering of people outside of DPD headquarters at 8 o'clock. They said, hey, you know, the cops started announcing on their bullhorn and over the PA system, "Hey, it's 8 o'clock, curfew's enabled, time for everybody to go." They said it again at 8:10. They said it again at 8:20. At 8,
rumor has it that the purge alarm went off. Was that
right? At 8:30, I think this was brilliant. At 8:30, they just said, "Hey, we're starting to tow cars from around streets. So if you've left your cars on the streets, you know, it's a hard thing for I think police departments to try to balance that community interest and still keeping the peace in light of everything that's going on after it gets dark. I mean, because if you're watching this, it is two very different environments for the most part, at least especially here in Detroit. I mean, I know there's been, you know, in LA and a couple other places, there's been shit on fire at 9 o'clock in the morning. But I mean, you've got what seems to be a very peaceful, you know, calm set of people during the day, you know, that are there to get their voices heard, that are there to get, you know, their point across. And then at night, I mean, like just all hell breaks loose. And I don't know if it's, you know, because, you know, and we all, I mean, I'm sure you've seen them too, the videos of, you know, basically unknown agitators, and they are almost always white, that are walking around, you know, downtown areas and breaking windows and starting shit. And then when confronted by locals, they run away. I do tend to believe that that's real and that's happening, because I mean, there's video evidence of it. I'm having a real hard time with anybody that's having a hard time with the protesters right now. I really, really am, especially, you know, the true protesters, just because I get it. I mean, you know, there comes a time when staying quiet about shit just doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. I mean, you've got, you know, there have been peaceful protests. There's been the take a knee. There's been, you know, all this stuff going on over the last couple of years. And at some point in time, what the hell do you expect people to do? Like, how much more has to go on before some shit's going to get started?
I get it. And I hear you too. And the frustration mounts up and you get the whole, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, my big thing is, and then, like, I'd love to see some and then coming out of this.
Yep.
No, yep. Here's what's going on. Here's what we want to do. We want to sit down and have dialogue. I mean, granted, that's always, you know, I feel like how many years I've been trying to have dialogue and this shit still happens.
Right. No, and that's a big thing. And I mean, and you've got, you know, and I do, I think some of it has to do with, I mean, you know, hey, let's not forget, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. And so people have been cooped up in their houses for, you know, two and a half months, and everybody's on edge, and everybody's
ready. Huh? It makes me think of the meme with the cruise ship in the background, the world fighting the pandemic, and the dude on a surfboard with an umbrella labeled the U.S. on their own side quest.
Right. And I mean, it's yeah, like my heart goes out to everybody on both sides. It really, really does. I mean, I don't like seeing, you know, because there's story after story about, you know, the guy who, you know, basically blew his entirely. He was a firefighter and he spent his life savings getting the sports bar. They hadn't even gotten to the point where they could have insurance yet because they weren't fully ready to open. And that's one of the places that got destroyed. So no, that's not one of those situations where, oh, the insurance is going to cover it. Don't worry about businesses. They'll be fine. You know, when it comes to the Targets and, you know, the major stores of the world, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, these small little places, you don't know that that's the case. And, you know, but again, I also, you know, completely side with, you know, the voices of frustration and anger. I mean, there's been too much of this shit going on and it's got to stop. I mean, I threw a donation at, you know, the Bail Project today. You know, it's, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, even if you can't be on the front lines, you know, do what you can, you know, do what you can to help in any way that you can. I mean, whether that's, you know, just being there and being a voice. I mean, I can't tell you, like, I've had so many great conversations over the past couple of weeks, with, or especially over this past week with, you know, friends about, okay, you know, just reaching out. Hey, how are you? And if you don't want to talk right now, that's cool. I'm here if you need me. And then, and sometimes that results in a phone call and just verbal diarrhea all, you know, cause it's all pent up and coming out. And sometimes it's, hey, just, you know, not yet. I appreciate you. And we'll talk soon. Yeah, I want good. I want this to not be an issue anymore, as so many other people do. And, yeah.
The thing that's not okay is the police starting to attack and arrest journalists.
I didn't catch why. I just saw that the CNN journalists were arrested, but I didn't. Did they try to tell them to disperse and they said no?
No. So that was one weird situation and the one that kind of started it off. And honestly, the disturbing part of this, so if you watch the entire video, the camera crew had backed off from where the police line was, and then a protester ran through the police line, basically right by the camera crew. Cops came after the protester to get them. Camera crew basically had to dive out of the way, and then shortly thereafter, the camera crew and the reporter got arrested. And what was disturbing in particular about that is the reporter, because they were released like an hour or whatever later, and the reporter was back live on the air. And he said, look, he said, I want to be absolutely clear with everybody. The officer that I was dealing with the entire time could not have been more cordial. He could not have been more upfront about things. He didn't really understand what was going on. And the phrase that bothered me the most is he told me he was just following orders. So somebody up the food chain said, arrest that camera crew. And that's a problem. And then somebody from, I believe it was the Detroit News, got tagged and bagged last night.
Yeah. got hit by bullets. Free Press reporter got charged by a DPD officer. You know,
here's the thing.
Media staying in media zones are being harassed just as much as.
Well, that characterization I don't necessarily know that I agree with, because I mean we watched live the situation with the Free Press reporter. That's when they were out roaming around. That's when everybody was running away en masse from the tear gas, and the cops were chasing everybody down at that point. It's hard. I mean, it's today's day and age, man. How do you know, without taking the time to go, hey, can you show me your credentials, whether that person with a cell phone cam and a backpack is any, you know, that's with the Free Press is any different than that person with a cell phone that's just doing shit on their own and their backpack actually has like fireworks and shit that they've been shooting at you? Like, how do you know the difference between those two as a cop in a heat of the moment split?
They're all in street clothes. I mean, and here's the thing, like, you don't need to have a PhD in human psychology to know that when police are dressed in militarized gear with militarized weapons and tanks, that it's going to charge people up.
That's Psych 101.
I remember when Tom Nardone was making those bulletproof baseball caps. Yep. And he was basically saying it just to get people to like not be on guard and not be charged up. Just like, I'm one of like, just to be like, you know, so that's like the guy in Flint basically dressed down, took off all his stuff, and it brought people like calm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why people think that force is going to make people, it's going to piss people off more and they're going to double down when that shit's not around. Like, it's just, to me, it's just basic 101.
It is. Some of it comes down to psychology. Some of it comes down to, you know, reading the situation and try to understand things. And some of it comes down to directives they've been given. I mean, dude, like, how many times have you seen, you know, a verbal confrontation in a bar between two people and then one of two things happens? Either talking works it out and everybody goes their own separate ways, or that first punch gets thrown. And that first punch is almost inevitably a punch to the nose or the face, which is typically trying to be a heavily intimidating tactic in order to hopefully stave off anything worse happening down the road. And so, like I said, I can see why. I'm not saying it's right. I want to be perfectly clear here. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it was the right course of action. I can see from a DPD point of view why they took the action that they did last night. You know, just trying to diffuse a situation now with a punch to the nose, in the hopes of diffusing anything that might come down the road.
Do you not think that it doesn't build any goodwill with the community?
I'm not saying it's right, and I'm not saying.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm saying, like, if there's riots after sporting events, they always bring out the horses. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's a calmer version, like 4th of July, calmer version. It's just, we're going to disperse the crowd, and this is the way we're doing it. When you start bringing tanks and tear gas out and shit, I mean, that's like, that's pandemonium, you know, dogs and cats living together type stuff.
Look at what's happened to LA. Look at what's happened in Minnesota. Look at what's happened in DC. Do you really want that here in Detroit? And again, like I said, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's right, but I can see where from a mindset, hey, if we come heavy early, we avoid, you know, the situation. Like, I don't even know why DC bothered to instill a curfew at 11 p.m. Like, to me, like, that's already too late. Like, you're three. Like, I thought Detroit was rational and reasonable. 8 p.m. Look, you got all day. Do your thing. It gives you about a half an hour, 45 minutes to get out of the city before it gets dark and all that stuff. Cool. And there we go. So, but yeah, I mean, like, dude, DC escalated quickly last night. If you weren't watching it, I mean, it went from peaceful protest to buildings, dumpsters, and all kinds of shit on fire, and like clearly with accelerants and raging fires in the span of about 15 minutes.
All I know is that, like, I think we can all agree that, yeah, because you said it earlier, the timing of this, not saying it's ever a good time, but this couldn't have been a worse time. Everybody's literally was at edge and going crazy anyway.
Yep.
And you literally you know, couldn't have made this a worse situation. And I think, you know, I think it's kind of awesome. You have other, you know, like London and Hong Kong and other, like, there's other areas that are like kind of standing in solidarity with mm-hmm. it. I think it's, you know, again, I'm all for the peaceful protest. That's where I'm going to make my stand. Granted, you know, I'm not a fan of collateral damage, put it that way. Like, if you're going to do this shit, you know,
and again, I totally get it, you know, and that's where, you know, I've gotten involved in a number of those discussions this week. And, you know, violence and looting never solved anything. Well, can we talk about the Revolutionary War? Well, can we talk about the Civil Rights Movement? Well, can we talk about the labor riots and the AFL-CIO? Well, can we? That's simply not true. And sometimes it does take about, you know, it does take violence and upheaval in order to create change. And it is unfortunate that that is the case, because as we were talking about earlier, dude, like, how this conversation has been begging to happen for so long. You know, why, you know, like, you know, there's an article that I was reading today that said, oh, you know, the NFL could really start to bring the country together if a team just hired Colin Kaepernick finally.
It's a little too late for that.
Exactly. Like, that ship sailed. Film at 11. That's you missed that boat. But I mean, like I said, you know, that's a conversation that's been begging to happen, you know, through Ferguson. Dude, think about, God, I mean, think back to how long ago that, you know, what does it mean to be black in America that we did with, you know, Calvin and Kari and Eric, you know, that 4.5 hour marathon that we sat through, and ran with them. That, I mean, that was 3-4 years ago now. And I mean, it's crazy to me that, you know, even, you know, Ian, that was right after Ferguson. And yet none of those conversations have happened, at least not at the levels they need to. I mean, we've had those conversations with our friends over and over and over again. We can only do what we can do. You know, we're not the ones that are, you know, I mean, you can vote and do all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I got a lot of feels and a lot of thoughts about this, but I'm not going to go too deep.
I don't know. I'm going to repeat what I said right at the top of the show, and we'll probably end it on this. I hope this brings about some discourse and some change and whatever it is that may be. I just hope that, whether it's even having some guy think twice somewhere, I just hope that this this can help something.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Cool.
But on that note, you know, I guess we'll cut you two clowns loose.
I'm probably just gonna hop on another Zoom chat and drink with people because I need to.
We're gonna wrap things up with this episode 350 of the IT and the D Show. Like to thank Mike Willie from Clear to Go. Sounds like a pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I do like that. I'm about to check it out.
Hopefully you get some traction with that. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. I guess you can go out. You know, I was going to say stay your ass at home, but you don't have to anymore.
You don't have to anymore. You can, you can feel freely to move about the cabin.
Parties of 100, not 101, and strict guidelines on the 6 feet, not 5 feet, not 7 feet, 6 feet. But do us a favor, drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
All right. See you guys. Stay safe.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear a lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off! I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the cheese. Owns. 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 Owns.
Bear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.